Welcome to the Burnout Proof Your Biz podcast, where we showcase entrepreneurs that are building amazing businesses their way. We also explore how you can prevent burnout in your own business by letting go of the chaos and overwhelm. And I'm sharing tips on how you can give yourself permission to run your business and live your dream life on your own terms. You started your business to have more freedom. Let's help you find it. I'm your host, Chelsea B. Foster. On today's episode, I have Kate Jones here from Kate Waldo & Co. And guys, she is amazing. She helps bloggers and influencers who are sick of spending countless hours working on administrative work and wish that they could focus on the fun parts of their business. You know, the reason they started in the first place. Does that sound familiar at all? You guys are going to love Kate. If you have been hanging around here for very long at all, Kate's going to be right up your alley. Today, she is here and we are talking all about how to get started organizing and picking out your systems. We also go off on a little bit of a tangent on outsourcing. So if you are getting ready to start outsourcing, we talk a little bit about that today as well. All right, so let's dive in. All right, Kate, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. All right. So let's just kick it off with you sharing with us a little bit about who you are, who you serve, and how you got here.
Yeah, so I am Kate Jones, and I am with Kate Waldo & Company. We help bloggers and influencers who are sick of spending countless hours on all the administrative work and wish they could just do all the fun parts of their business, the reason why they got into doing it in the first place. And it really lights my fire to be able to help influencers focus on what they want to do versus and getting rid of all that stress of the stuff that they have to do to make sure that their business is still running.
Oh my gosh, I love that so much. And if you guys have been listening to the podcast any length of time, you know that that is very similar to what I love to do and help you guys with. So Kate, I can't seriously tell you enough how excited I am to talk to you about. And even before we hit record, we were geeking out over all of the tech tools that we use.
Just anytime I can talk to someone about that and they understand and like, it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Exactly, exactly. So share with us a little bit about how you got into doing this.
Yeah, I am a professional organizer and I was helping, I had a business, still have a business where I help people organize their homes and their businesses, like all the items in there. And we continued as we were growing the business, it really quickly became clear to me that I needed to have systems in place because like I was telling you when we were talking earlier, when I was spending hours and hours a day with a client, I had so much admin work to do afterwards and I wanted to spend a lot less time doing that and make it way more streamlined, way more effective, automate as much of it as possible. And then we put systems in place and had that going and it was always something that we had to tweak. But as soon as we really had a good system going, the clients were coming in and we were able to take more and more on. And I was able to outsource more of the things that I didn't want to be doing and really focus on my clients. And that was so freeing to me. And people started to ask too about the digital side of life. Like, how do you keep your inbox organized? How do you manage your clients and your follow-up and all the little things that you have to do? Even organizing your finances, how do you keep track of all that stuff and how do you do it well? And it just started to shift into that this was something that I really loved and kind of geeked out on. And so people needing help with this was kind of a natural progression. And I locked in on the influencer blogger space because I had people in that area, especially that were saying, you know, people are talking to us about SEO. They're talking to us about engagement and the Instagram algorithm and content creation and all these things, but nobody's talking to us about how to keep our business organized and how to make that flow really well. Because a lot of these bloggers and influencers, that's not the only thing that they do. They even if they just have like a dog and they like to travel, that's, you don't want to spend all your time working on the like icky admin stuff. You just don't. And then a lot of them they have a podcast like you, they have maybe a full-time job, they have kids, they have all these different things going on where if you can take away the time that they spend on all the stuff that they don't necessarily want to be doing and really cut that down so that then they can focus on the fun things and the things that they really love and really why people come to them in the first place, that is the total end goal. of where we're trying to get.
Oh my gosh, I love that so much. And yeah. I know all of you that are listening can relate to all of that. So let's go ahead and talk about automating your admin, because you knew firsthand how awful it was to work 6 or 8 hours with a client and then still have to do admin on top of that. So walk us through, like, how do we go about automating those administrative tasks?
Well, like you said, you know, you spend all day, or even if it's a few hours of doing your work, and then you have another set of work. So your brain just isn't, it's exhausted. I mean, I would spend all day with clients and I was so exhausted by the actual project that I was doing that I couldn't even function when I would get into my inbox, and it was just crazy. With starting with organizing all the admin stuff, I'd say really get a clear picture of what is the one thing that makes your business special. Is that you, for our bloggers and influencers, for the most part, it's creating content. Is that video content? Is that, you know, across their channels, different kind of content? Is it actually writing the blog? For me in my business, the one main thing is that getting that content out there about organization for your business, for influencers and bloggers. So that's my one thing. And that's where all my tasks now flow down from. And having a clear picture of what your main focus for your business is, and that within Mike McAllowitz, yeah, so he's got a bunch of different books, but Profit First and Clockwork. He talks about your queen bee role, and that's your one thing that everything is flowing down, like all your tasks need to flow down from. Because if you are just doing a bunch of stuff for the heck of it, even if you don't look at it, you're probably not looking at it that way. You think it needs to be done. But if you kind of realign your purpose of, okay, this is our queen bee role, the one thing that we need to do, which, say you're a graphic designer, it's actually designing, or it's maybe the thing that's different about you as a graphic designer is you provide really awesome customer experience. So you want to make everything that you do flow down from there. So realigning first, I think, in getting organized and all this admin stuff, is realigning your focus of what's the most important thing in your business that you need to be working on that makes you different, makes you special, makes people want to work with you. And then from there, you can trim all the things that don't align. Trim, transfer, trash. There's lots of different ways to say that one. But getting rid of the things that don't serve you anymore, like, for me, I just can't get on board with Twitter. I had a Twitter and it just, I don't get it. I don't understand Twitter. And
yes, Twitter is so confusing.
I think it's good for SEO. And like some marketing person told me that, like, I'd rank higher if I had a Twitter listed on my website. But then I realized that's stupid because I don't like it. I don't get it. My clients don't use it. It doesn't make sense. So cutting out things, why should I spend any part of my day working on something like that? Cutting out those kind of things, then trimming down a lot of what can be condensed and made faster. And automation in a lot of the programs that you and I both use do that for you, which is, it seems like it's not being productive when you slow down to organize your business, but it's the best thing that you can do for yourself. So identifying, slowing down, identifying that one big thing that you need to be focusing on. And then from there, actually taking the time to, you're not doing, it's hard work, but it's not busy work, because you are setting a foundation for your business of where everything is, should be, how it's working, how can we make everything more efficient? So then you can ramp back up and everything that you do has a purpose and makes sense.
Oh my gosh, I love that so much. And I love that you made the distinction between effective and productive work versus ineffective busy work.
Yeah. Because it's so easy to spend your day. I was just saying that last week as I was on stories saying, okay, this Monday, as you're laying out your week, I want you to think about what are the most impactful things on your to-do list and do those first, because it's so easy to get into just checking off boxes of the easy things to do, the easy tasks. And I'm so guilty of that. I do it all the time because it feels good, but those aren't impacting your bottom line and they're not impacting your clients in the best way that they could be. So focusing on what makes the biggest impact of your business first.
Yes. Oh my gosh. And I always find that if I'm resisting doing a certain thing, that's probably the thing I need to be doing anyway.
Yeah. So
just like the worst it and do it.
Yep.
And then I can move forward.
It's that phrase, eat your frogs.
Or, yeah.
Yeah. Do yeah. the worst thing, the thing you least want to do in the morning first. Yeah. And I actually was part of this event and learned the coolest thing from, her name's Kristen Oja, and she is a doctor of nursing. And she was saying that you should, when I'm sure you talk about time batching and how to use your time mm-hmm. best, but on that train of doing the hard things first, eating the frog, all of that, she was saying that doing things that you like the least is best to do in the morning because your cortisol levels are the highest, mm-hmm. which I didn't know that. So I usually would I would time block where I was doing kind of easier things in the morning, and then doing the afternoon was when I was doing my big projects and thinking hard, but shifting that around to matching your cortisol levels, just so I'm not leaving anyone out on this, that's directly related to your stress level. And when your body produces cortisol is when you are more stressed, but you're also more alert. Your body's like, all right, here we are, ready to go, fight or flight kind of thing. But you can channel that energy into the things that stress you out the most or that you dislike the most. Do that first in the morning while your cortisol level's high, and then it tapers off in the afternoon, and you can start doing those like easier things like sorting your email or, you know, following up with the client, scheduling blog posts, whatever it is.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love that so much. I have noticed with most of my clients that their energy level is most high for focused activities in the morning.
Yeah.
Which totally lines up with this. I never thought to correlate it to the cortisol levels.
But
so I usually always recommend to do your most focused work first thing in the morning for most people. Yeah.
And now there's scientific evidence.
Exactly. Exactly. It's not all just about your energy. There's an actual chemical part to it too. Oh my gosh. I'm so excited. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. I thought that was super cool. That was definitely a light bulb moment for me.
Yeah. Oh man. And that makes total sense. Cause if you think about it, like our cortisol level is supposed to taper off in the afternoon. And then again in the evening when we're ready to go to bed. Mm-hmm. And I know I've talked to a lot of other, you know, night owl people, and we tend to like get sleepy. And then if we stay up too long, then we like get wide awake again.
Yep.
And can do a lot of really creative work. And that matches up totally with cortisol.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So as far as different tools that you recommend for them to get started with when they are like, oh my gosh, I can't. I'm doing all the things. I feel so overwhelmed. I'm working 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you recommend that they get started?
My two biggest things to get started with are, one, having all your to-do lists in one place. And the other is having a customer relationship management tool. And I know this is stuff that you talk about a lot, but Asana would be what I would recommend for having all your to-do list in one place, because I know a lot of people say they're paper people and they write, you know, they like to write everything out and they like to have the book and the tangible and all that stuff. But the thing is, there's a few things about that. One is that if you don't have it with you, it's out of sight, out of mind, or if you don't, your brain's not really accustomed to trying to look on your phone or figure it out in a different way if you are used to only using paper. And then two is that we need to look big picture here, because you want to work yourself out of a job. You want to be able to do only in your business what you actually really like to do in your business, whatever that is for you. If that's like, you only want to do the accounting for your business, good for you. I hire someone to do that. But, you know, if that's fun for you, and then just like calling up clients to check on projects, those should be the things that you're working towards getting yourself to only do those items in your business. So we're looking big picture, that you don't want to be doing everything in your business forever. And you absolutely will not be able to delegate and use other people's help if you're writing on paper, and if you have your to-do list and your task list and your notes and all that stuff in a million different places. So getting them, and I learned this really quickly. I mean, I think of myself as a really organized person, but I learned it really quickly when I brought on a virtual assistant that I was not being the most effective with all my task lists because I had notes on my iPhone. I had those Apple reminders. Then I was kind of sort of using Asana, but not really. And then I also had things written down, and there's no way to tell her what needs to be done. Also, you don't get a big picture of what is happening, what needs to be done, what the progress is, all those things. Asana is really easy to use. I feel like it's easy to start with and then by yourself and then add on team members super easily. And then even if you're just outsourcing for small projects, like I had a VA come on for a launch, I could just share one board with her and then we could collaborate on it. So it's really easy to use and I love it.
Yes, me too. And you can actually add your clients in there too. So if you are someone that works with clients and you want them to be inside and see the whole checklist, I used to do that when I was a graphic designer and I would have them in there the whole time. I'm actually considering adding them in with coaching as well so I can give them their homework.
That's awesome. That's a really good idea.
Yeah. So, but it's super easy to just, it's literally like what, 3 clicks to add someone. It's so easy.
It's nothing.
So,
yeah.
And it makes it so simple to collaborate without having about 1,000 email threads.
Exactly.
Different tasks.
So. Yeah. And I would say that if you are working on something that needs a lot of back and forth that has more than one person, use Slack for that. But if you're working with just one other person, like say you're me outsourcing to a graphic designer, you can communicate pretty much all through Asana and it'll all be in one place and you'll be able to track it, that kind of thing, which is great.
Yep. Oh my gosh. I love that. And you guys have heard me geek out over Asana before. You know, I'm a super huge fan of Asana. Their free plan's amazing, guys. I'm going to link it for you in the show notes. So if you aren't using it yet, you can go check it out and make sure that you get your to-do list organized, guys.
Yeah.
All right. And so talk to us about the CRM.
Yeah, the CRM, so customer relationship management tool. And this is something that when I left the corporate world, I thought I would never have to touch again. And I was so glad about it. Like, see you later, Salesforce, and all these crazy proprietary systems. But it actually was probably one of the most fundamental pieces of my business. And it continues to be having that tool, because a lot of people don't realize that, even in particular, our bloggers and influencers don't realize that it's something they would ever need, because they think, oh, well, I don't necessarily have one-on-one clients. But you need a place to keep everybody's information, and you need everybody that you've interacted with, even if it's that you just business friend, like you and I talking on a podcast together, like, No money is being exchanged here, but it's still something that, like, I have you in my CRM because now I can, like, write notes on Chelsea and, like, this is when we talked last, and, like, she was going on a trip to Bermuda and in May. And so, like, ask her about that next time and see how it was. It's fostering relationships with people, pun intended. but fostering relationships with people, because it's way more, people work with you because they like you. They don't work with you because you're the best or the shiniest or the fastest. Those are great, great benefits. But people work with you because they like who you are as a person. And when you show them that you care about them and that you are remembering things about them, that is when you stand out from everybody else. And exactly. You can't possibly remember all of that stuff you can probably remember a lot of it depending on how good your memory is, but you don't put your brain through that much work. Have it all in your customer relationship management system, and then you can go from, like, you won't have to remember it all. If somebody texts, if you have a client that you worked with before and they text you, and you can just pull up the notes really quick, or if you want to, if you, you know, your pipeline's looking slim and you want to reach back out to people, you can pull personal things like, oh, your son graduated last month. How was that? And, you know, by the way, do you need help with XYZ? It makes a big difference.
It really does.
It's not as intimidating as it sounds. You can do super simple ones, very, very simple CRM systems. You and I both used Ubsato, which I love because they do everything and it looks beautiful. You can invoice, it connects to QuickBooks, you can send proposals and contracts, and from you can do all these automations and workflows and all these things, which sound kind of scary, but if you haven't ever used that before, but really, if you can get in there and start to learn the pieces and start to put the puzzle together, it makes your life so easy, so much easier. And what I've found too is that getting started with the first step to using a CRM would be putting all of your contact information in, all of your contacts info in, and some other CRMs do pull from Gmail, which is really nice. HubSpot in particular, they'll pull from Gmail. They are more expensive. That is one that I recommend for influencers who are doing more pitching and brand collaborations. But my point was, so get your contacts in, but then second thing you can do that I've found easier is sketching out the work or the flow of what you want to happen from the time somebody visits your website to the time that every step of the way, they're filling out your form, you're sending them an email saying, we got your info, we'll be back with you, here's our calendar link. Then to, okay, how do we onboard the client? Then how do we offboard the client? Then how do we follow up with them? If you can sketch it out, that helps a lot to be able to fill in the blanks of where do you need that automation? Where do you, what pieces do you need? And then Dubsado, we were just talking about this. They're so helpful. They're so helpful. You can chat them and ask them anything and they'll help you with it, which is great. You can say, I'm trying to do this and I don't know how to get from A to Z, and they'll help you.
Yep. They're amazing. And if you're trying to set something up and you're like, it's not working the way I thought it was going to, you could tell them that too. And they'll help you troubleshoot. And yeah, their support is really, really good.
It is great. But that would be like the two fundamental items that you need, is that getting all your to-do lists in one place and then having a CRM system. Even if you start with just an Excel doc that has,
I was just gonna say that.
First name, last name, business name, phone number, email, and some notes on them, that's a perfect place to start. Start with that.
I love that. I have a friend who is really good at gift giving and like surprisingly, unexpectedly good at gift giving. And so a couple years ago, I was like, how are you so good at this? And he was like, oh, I take notes. Like he has a note in notes app on his phone for every single person in his life. And throughout the year, as they mention things, he just like, cause his phone's always with him, he just pops it open and types in like a couple notes about it. So when it comes time to buy a birthday present or buy a Christmas present, he already knows what he's getting. And I was like, this is genius.
Yeah.
And so
I do that with my Christmas list for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
It saves so much time.
Exactly. Exactly. But like, you wouldn't expect yourself to remember those gift ideas all year long, right?
No. But it's my mom or my best friend. Of course I should remember. And you think you will. But honestly, I mean, I think some people talk about organized people are just lazy people. I don't want to have to remember all that.
Exactly. Exactly.
And it's the same. Get it out of my brain.
If you can't remember something for your mom's birthday, like you're not going to remember stuff about your clients. Like your brain doesn't work like that. Like you care about the things that you remember the things that you care about. And having a CRM helps with that so much. So just a little like life lesson here. Like, do it for yourself, do it for your clients, but also do it for your family too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Do it for your family too.
Yeah.
It goes into all parts of your life.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh my gosh. Okay. So those, you guys have heard me talk about both of those tools so much on this podcast. I personally think all of you should definitely do all of that. Again, they'll be linked for you in the show notes. Same thing with HubSpot. I haven't talked about it as much, but if you are in a place where you need a little bit more power with your CRM, definitely check them out. They are amazing. And they do actually have a free version, but I would recommend the paid version because it has a lot more features.
Yeah, I would too. I think you can't do as much with it. If you want to be on HubSpot, then you need to be paying for it probably. You should be on Dubsado.
Yes.
And if you're not on Dubsado because you need different things, be on HubSpot, but you need to pay for it because the free version doesn't do much of anything.
No, no. In fact, it's very confusing on the free version.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Okay. So earlier you mentioned how earlier in your career, you decided you wanted to start outsourcing some things so that you had the bandwidth to do the things you really loved. How did you make that decision on what you were going to outsource and when you were going to outsource?
It was hard. That's part of what we actually teach in the Organized Influencer Academy. Like a big chunk of it is we have a whole section on talking about the what, why, and how of outsourcing, because I didn't do a good job at first. I literally tried to outsource my whole life at one time. I was just like, I said, okay, oh my gosh, there's somebody who can do all my stuff that I don't want to do for me. Here, take it all and figure it out and good luck, be efficient. That doesn't work. unfortunately, it doesn't. And I was just talking with a few people. I mean, it's a conversation I have a lot with people that you can't outsource everything at once. You start with small projects, very small. I mean, we're talking like take photos of the business cards that you just got at that conference that you were at and send them to your VA, have them put them into your CRM system, their first, last name, email, business name, and tag them as that they were at XYZ conference. Yep. Something super simple like that, because, or even just put them into a spreadsheet. Have a plan, have a step-by-step plan for how to do things. You can even voice record it. You don't have to write it out. You could voice record it if that's easier. You could screen record it. But
that's what I do with whenever I outsource stuff is I do a Loom video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so do a video of it, and then have an idea of exactly what you want done. Make it super simple. Give them a timeline. Please, please, please always give them a timeline, because you never know that something that you think will take 3 hours, it may take them 10, and you didn't ask for them to report back to you at 3 hours and they're still working and they bill you for 10 and you've got to pay them for 10. Give them a timeline, give them step by step, tell them how you want them to ask you questions, how often you want them to ask you questions. Dumb it down. Really, really dumb it down. Like that your dad, like that I could give something to my dad who doesn't really know what influencers and bloggers are, and he could do this task. Mm-hmm. That, I mean, he's a smart guy, nothing, not saying that, but that he could do it without having any context for the task. And so give them the steps, give them the timeline, really make it simple, start with a very small project and then work up from there and make sure you're communicating well, you're setting expectations, you're giving them not only how much time, but I need this by this day. Is that possible? You know, encouraging them to also Google things that they shouldn't ask you, or at least try to Google it first before they can come back and ask you.
Mm-hmm. So with all of these things, one thing I love to do is actually put them all in Asana, because you're not going to hire someone to do this just one time. Like you're really not. And if I think that I'm getting ready to start outsourcing something, I'll just go ahead and start doing it while I'm doing it the last couple times. Yes. That way I don't have to go back and add more things on my to-do list. Mm-hmm. But it makes it very easy for you, especially if you're talking while you're doing it. You'll see where the holes are in your process and where you need to come back and add more explanation. So I just hired someone new to help me with the blog for the podcast. And one thing is like adding color to the background of the quotes. And I had instructions written out, like go download this little toolkit for Chrome and use it, but I didn't tell her how to use it.
Yep.
But she was like, I think I did it. And then there was no color. And so I was like, oh, like I got to explain how to use the tool, which is totally fine. Like that was on me. But you notice those things if you're actually like talking through them. I hadn't created a video about it. I had just written out the instructions. So that's one thing I always tell my clients that are getting ready to start outsourcing or adding a team, is to go ahead and talk through it several times by yourself. So you see where all the holes are, because you're going to have holes.
Yeah. And then you also will see how you can make it more efficient. You'll see where the holes are, where you could maybe do something faster or do the same thing, you know, batch work and do it quicker, more efficiently.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, I love that. I like that you said, go ahead and start small too. That's so smart. Coming from HR into working for myself, one thing that we used to do with new hires, always start with small tasks and build. You never throw them in the deep end at first. And you don't want to do that with your VAs either.
Right. Because it's not only is it unfair to them, It's just unfair all around. You're setting your expectations too high. You have to get to know one another, get to know one another's style. It would be better to be pleasantly surprised by someone than to be, give them this massive project and then be really frustrated and let down and then take it back from them. That doesn't do anyone's ego any good. You're not getting the best of everyone. You're not giving the best of yourself. You're not getting from them what they could do well or the best. So start small.
Exactly. I love that. Okay. So that was the first half of the question. The other half is, how do you know when it's time to start outsourcing?
It really depends on each person and your preference. I mean, you can get somebody to help you do things that would be $10 an hour. You can get somebody who charges $30 an hour. It really depends on what you need. But I would say that, like we talked about, your queen bee role, that one thing that you need to be focusing on, if something is been on your to-do list for a really long time, then you should hire somebody to get it off your to-do list. And if it needs to happen, you know, we talked about the trim, trash, transfer. If it still is one of those tasks you want to keep and you want to transfer it to somebody else, you should do it. You don't have to hire a full-time VA. You can have somebody, like I was just saying, I had a VA who, she helped me just with my launch. And it was, oh my gosh, the best $10 an hour for 12 hours I ever spent. $120. I mean, that to do all the stuff that she did was incredible. I mean, I think a lot of people say, oh, well, I'm not at this dollar amount, or I'm not, I don't know if I feel comfortable with this or whatever. But especially when you have a pending deadline or there's been something on your to-do list forever and you can get that off your plate, the lightness you'll feel and also the forward motion that you'll feel by getting someone else to help you with it is incredible. So it really, I mean, I hate to give the answer, it depends, but I think just kind of check yourself, see if there's something that's been on your to-do list forever. Like, for example, having all those people from the conference that you went to, if you haven't followed up with them yet, then do what I just said, take photos of the cards, send them to a VA. It could even be like your niece or nephew that is in college and like wants some extra money, or like a friend who's between jobs, whatever. Don't make it hard. Don't make it complicated. Start small in all aspects of it. You can start with a small project that lasts for a day. That's if it gives you more peace of mind, if it gets something off your chest and off your plate, it's helpful.
Oh, I love that so much. And that's like, anytime that you're outsourcing anything, that's a good rule to think about, is just where's it going to be most effective for you to have help and start there.
Yeah. I mean, like I was saying, $120 for 12 hours worth of work.
That's insane.
My sanity, like, holy cow, that took so much that I could have those hours back to spend, even if I wasn't replacing it with more work, which end game is not to do that. But even if I was replacing it with more work, it was higher level work and stuff that also needed to be getting done that would be a lot harder to outsource.
Yep, absolutely. So, since we're talking about that lunch, what all did you have her do for you?
What I had her do, well, I actually did have her do the business card thing. That was great because I hadn't had that done. And I knew a lot of people that I had met at some of the conferences that I had been to would be interested in joining our free masterclass. So I wanted to have, she helped me with all of that. I mean, I wrote the email templates and like made sure that they were customized for everybody. But I had her do that with the business cards and upload them to Dubsado and tag them the way that I wanted them tagged. I had her do a lot of proofreading for me. I had her do and copy editing. Those were the really big things. I had her test some tech with me. For the webinar software Zoom, we tested some things for that, some links, testing links and website, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's all kind of a blur now. I'm starting to forget. But that was the main stuff, especially when you get tired, to having somebody check your spelling and grammar and just context. Having a different set of eyes on something is really helpful, because I think we all can be really guilty of talking in jargon and not speaking in layman's terms and realizing that whatever we're saying doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Just people who aren't in our head or in our world.
Yep.
So having somebody that's not in that world can also be really helpful to have them look through something.
Ah, I love that so much. Oh my goodness. So one thing I found in my like almost 4 years of business now, that's crazy guys that I've been running businesses for 4 years. But one thing I found is there is literally someone out there that will do anything. So yes. If you don't want to do it, guarantee you can find someone out there that will do it for you.
And you don't have to pay them a ton of money.
No.
But on the other hand of that, there are people who will do anything. You can pay somebody and it would probably be worth it to pay $30, $50, $80 an hour to pay somebody really high level to knock out a project for you. Say you're not good at coding and you need some website code done. Mm-hmm. Outsource that. I mean, do your research, and to make sure that there's somebody that will work with what you need. But do that. Mm-hmm. You know, something that could take you 12 hours that they can knock out in 3, that's worth it. At least it is to me.
Yep. And whenever I look at the cost there, I look at, okay, well, how much is it going to cost me billing at my hourly rate?
Yep.
Versus how much am I going to pay them? So mm-hmm. How much, if I did it, would it cost me to do it versus mm-hmm. just me paying them to do it?
Right.
And usually that cost is a lot lower. So if it's mm-hmm. lower, then I go ahead and just outsource.
Yep, definitely.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love that so much. Okay. What other tech tools or systems do you recommend that people make sure that they have in place to help them whenever they are getting started in their business, they're ready to start up-leveling?
So we've got the CRM, we've got the centralized to-do list, then having scheduling using the scheduling options for emails, for Facebook, for Instagram, whatever social media platforms, anything that you can schedule that happens on a recurring basis, use that. Even Asana, that is my favorite tool in Asana, is the recurring mm-hmm. tasks. Because if I use them, I've talked about this before, but I use them from anything to Planoly account, more content and captions to pay my health insurance on the 1st.
Yeah,
like that. So I use it for everything. It happens every month. You can set it to recur. Same with tasks for when you're outsourcing. That's a great tool to use, is those scheduling and recurring items, because then you're not reinventing the wheel every time.
Absolutely.
If it happens more than once, use a scheduler or something that makes it be recurring, because you don't need to reinvent the wheel every single time. No. It's just not necessary. And when I talk about Facebook, like for example, in the Organized Influencer Academy, I do live Q&A on a weekly basis, and I collect questions for that a couple days before. And so I've just gone in there. I don't use Facebook a whole lot. So I don't use any of the other tools that schedule content to Facebook, but as simple as that question collection is the same every week. So I've gone in there and I've scheduled it for the next few weeks that I don't have to think about it. On Sunday night, it posts to the group and people can write their questions. And that's one less thing that I have to go in and manually do. I like Planoly for Instagram content. I need to get on Tailwind for Pinterest. That has been on my to-do list. That's one of my things I need to outsource.
Yep.
Is getting somebody to help me with all of that.
Yep. That is actually the next thing I'm outsourcing. Pinterest.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
I already told her, I was like, I need to know your rates so I can build them in and make sure that I'm hiring you by this summer.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's a big one. I've heard that. I went to a conference recently and that was my big takeaway. It was Pinterest is the thing.
It is. Well, it's just like Google. Like, it's just as important as being on Google.
Right.
Because if you go looking for things, where are you looking? You're either going to go to Google and search for it, or you're going to go to Pinterest because you want to look at a pretty picture about it.
Exactly. And especially as female entrepreneurs, that's what I'm doing. Exactly. So I assume that my clients are doing the same thing.
Exactly.
And my students. So yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Another app that I really like for business owners that I think gets neglected, well, there's two for finances, is MileIQ. And that tracks your mileage, but it runs in the background. You don't have to turn it on. It's totally worth the $6 a month. the government owed me money, like a lot more than they should have because of my mileage app. So, like thousands of dollars, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And that I saved because of doing that mileage. Cause even if you're just going to get coffee or you're going to the bank or whatever it is, it runs in the background. You can classify, every couple of days, you can classify your drives as personal or business. That one's great. And then HubDoc is a little bit more sophisticated, but that is one that my CPA had me use. And it's so easy for receipts. It has an app that, if you're using QuickBooks Self-Employed, you can just use the image capture that they have on there. But if your business is a little bit more robust and you're not using QuickBooks Self-Employed, then HubDoc is really great because it integrates with all of your credit cards. It integrates with all your bank accounts, your Square, your Stripe, all those. And then you can forward emails to it and you can forward invoice emails to the address. And then you have a personalized address with it. And then you can also take photos on your phone of receipts. So then you never have any of that clutter. It's gone. You forward the email, you take a picture of the receipt, it's gone.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. I have a bunch of Zaps set up right now to do that, but I'm going to check that app out.
Yeah, it does it all itself and it'll link back to QuickBooks. So it's pretty great.
That's really awesome. Does it integrate with any other financial apps?
A ton.
Okay.
Yes.
Awesome.
I mean, Square, Stripe.
Square, Stripe, PayPal are the three main ones.
PayPal. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then as far as like accounting, you have like QuickBooks, Xero, FreshBooks. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Wave.
Yep. I'm pretty sure I worked all of those too.
Awesome. Yay.
But like I said, I outsource my accounting and bookkeeping, so I don't deal with that very much.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I still definitely outsource accounting. Bookkeeping is a little simpler, but yeah, definitely outsource accounting.
Mm-hmm.
Love that. Going back to Mile IQ, guys, this app is so simple, like literally, and it tells you throughout the month how much money the government owes you.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. And you can turn on notifications. So as soon as you hop out of the car, it's like 2 minutes after you hop out of the car, it'll say, hey, can you classify this drive?
Yeah.
And literally you're done. You just have to say whether it was personal or business.
Mm-hmm. And then you can trash, like I was in New York this weekend and obviously not driving my own car. So you can you can either trash or mark something as public transit, take it off. It's so, so easy. I hear like all these excuses of people talking about their different apps that they've used that it's like difficult. This is not hard at all. And it makes a huge difference. Mm-hmm. It was the very first thing that my accountant had me use was she said, you need to be tracking your mileage. You'd be really, really surprised.
Yeah.
Even if you have to go to Target to like get a desk something.
Yeah, or buy new pens.
Right. Buy new pens. Like that's a business drive. Going to get coffee with somebody that you might do a collaboration with. That's a business drive. So.
Yep. Yep. It's amazing. All those networking events that you guys go to every month. Business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Love it so much. Okay, guys, I'm going to link all of these for you in the show notes so you can check out all of these apps as well.
Yeah.
Okay. We are already over time. So if
kind of
you have,
happened.
we did. If you have a friend that is on the edge of burnout, what advice would you give her?
To be kind to yourself, because we give everybody else so much grace, but not ourselves. And I have to take this advice for myself regularly. You know, you're like, oh, she's just kicking ass over there. And I'm like, you know, still need to do X, Y, Z and I'm not good enough and whatever. So give yourself some grace. You're doing what a lot of people would never dare to do in owning your own business. And don't be afraid to give yourself a break, because resetting and slowing down can be some of the best things that you do for your business.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, I love that so much. Yes.
Yay.
All right. We do need to be nicer to ourselves. It's one thing that my therapist is always on to me. She's like, Chelsea, were you nice to yourself this week?
Yeah. Easier said than done.
Yeah, it really is. Because no one's there to catch you and call you out when you're being mean to yourself, because no one else can hear those thoughts.
Right. Exactly. And we replace all the stuff that we had in corporate life or in whatever other job that you've had. And you're, 10 times harder on yourself, and your expectations are like a million times higher than anybody else's would be. I'm sure you know that well from HR.
Yep. Absolutely. And I mean, honestly, if you're starting your own business, you're probably a perfectionist in some sort of fashion. Yeah. So like letting go a little bit of that is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
A very good thing.
Yep.
Oh man. Okay. So share with us what is coming up for you in the next couple months that our listeners might be interested in.
Yeah. So we are going to be soon in a few weeks. We have a free masterclass, and it is the 3 behind the scenes secrets to organizing your influencer business in 2019 and beyond. That's how to organize your influencer business for explosive growth without hiring that big team, without being constantly overwhelmed or wondering what in the world do you do next. So that is coming up in a couple weeks, and we would love to see you over there. And then if you want to go in the meantime to our website, it's katewaldoandco.com/freebies. We've got some really awesome freebies over there. The best organization apps for influencers and how to declutter your camera roll in three easy steps. I think it's three, something easy like that. So y'all can go over there too.
Oh, I love that so much. And guys, you're going to love these resources and that masterclass. I'll have them all linked for you in the show notes. So you can just real quick, click on over there. That's a tongue twister. Say it three times fast, guys. So you can really quick, just go click over there and get yourself signed up. All right. Where can they connect with you online?
Online, pretty much everything is Kate Waldo and Co. It's ANDCO. That's Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, my website, all those things. So, you know, send me a DM, whatever way is easiest for you to talk to me, ask me any questions you want. I'm an open book. So I'd love to hear from you.
Yay. All right. Well, again, I'm going to link all that for you guys in the show notes. Kate, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been fun.
Okay, so on today's episode, you guys heard us talk a lot about outsourcing and what that means for different people at different stages in your business. And I want to reiterate what Kate said. Outsourcing doesn't come whenever you reach a certain income level. Outsourcing happens because you need help in some area and you need to get something off of your plate so that you can move forward, okay? It has nothing to do with your income level. All right, so your permission slip today is to take a look at your business and find one thing that you could outsource, and then go find someone that can help you with that in your budget. Because there is someone out there that wants to help you with this, and that is in your price range. You just have to do a little bit of digging to find them. All right, so that's your permission slip. I give myself permission to look and find where I can outsource something small and then go find that person. All right, thank you guys so much for listening to today. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, head on over to iTunes and click subscribe so you get all the future episodes as well. And I would love it if you would join me over on Instagram. I'm at Chelsea B. Foster. Come find me, send me a DM, let me know how you're liking the podcast, or let me know what you ate for lunch. Really, I don't care. Just send me a DM. I love chatting with you guys, and I love being able to continue the conversation after the podcast. All right, thank you guys so much. Have an awesome day.